and wealth.
All right, guys, welcome to the Get Well, Get Money podcast. Today, I have the honor of talking to Mr. Noah Kingery, who, if you're not familiar with, his name is Transformational Truth on Instagram. And I came across a story a few months ago, and I was inspired. I was inspired. It's not your typical weight loss story, which really grabbed my attention. Unlike me and a lot of the other people who lost a lot of weight, he wasn't always overweight. He was an athlete pretty much all his life. But I'm gonna let him tell his story really quickly. Just give the listeners a little background on who you are and a little bit about your story.
Okay, perfect. Well, first off, thanks for having me on and reaching out. I know just the last couple months have been a whirlwind. You know, my story has been out for, 2 years. And, you know, it wasn't being picked up. And I was, you know, somewhat frustrated, mm-hmm. obviously, because I really felt that, like you said, I mean, this is much deeper than 190 pounds of weight loss. You know, we're talking everything from suicide to, you know, beating addiction to, I mean, having everything financially you could think of and losing it all and then having to rebuild that and then, you know, pushing me forward, you know, into today as I work as a nutritionist and I pour into other journeys, you know, guiding them on nutrition, but more importantly, really there. The emotional side, you know, that's so much deeper than a scale number. And so anyways, I mean, where I start, it's a deep story. And I think that one thing I can say is that, you know, when I was, in high school and you know, going through the process, I was an athlete, like you said. I played soccer. That was my passion. You know, I was in the best shape of my life. You know, at that point, and that was 2005 and 2006, I actually went from Cedar Hill, Texas, which is south of Dallas, and had the opportunity to play professionally in Brazil. And, you know, again, I'm an all-or-nothing type of person, so I either give everything or I give nothing.
I'm the same way. I'm working on that, though.
that balance, I'll tell you this, that people, you know, as I've been through this journey and continue to move forward, what I realize is that being all or nothing, if you turn that perspective to the right place, mm-hmm. it's incredible what we are capable of doing.
That's true.
Whether that be with weight loss, whether that be with business, whether that be with just bettering who we are, yep. you know, as individuals. And, however, it's a double-edged sword, right? Yep. You pour that that all-or-nothing perspective and personality into the wrong things, like I did when it came to addiction, when it came to women, when it came to, you know, just doing anything to pretty much escape my realities of my weight. That, I mean, it catches up to you, yeah. you know, and it doesn't, you know, again, I you know, when I was in, even with soccer, with everything, I mean, I was all or nothing, you know, and that was a positive, you know, but I have people that tell me to this day, hey, you need to find balance. And I mean, I'll be real with you. I don't want to be mediocre.
Yep.
And I think that there's too many people that settle for what's quote unquote good enough or what's just enough. And I mean, if we really pour ourselves into, you know, the right things, I mean, like I said, it's amazing what can happen. And so I was playing soccer in Brazil. I had a love relationship back in Dallas that I could not leave. And I had the option, I could stay on in Brazil and, you know, follow my dreams. And again, I mean, I'm a senior in high school, you know, and didn't know any better. And I said, you know what, I'm going to take the scholarship opportunities play soccer in the States. Well, it really wasn't for that at all. I got back, I went chasing that relationship, and I threw everything away. And my family, you know, my background before that, I mean, I was born in India, raised for about 14 years in India, where my parents, they work with physically disabled. So seeing that, you know, every day, pretty much growing up, and then having all of these opportunities, you know, kind of thrown at me. I was young, you know, and I just got my priorities mixed up.
Yep.
And so I headed back, you know, and walked away from soccer. I walked away from, you know, the scholarship opportunities. I walked away from everything all in one summer and went back to Texas, lost the relationship, lost my sense of self-worth, if you want to call it.
Yep.
And that spiraled me. It spiraled me into addiction. It spiraled me into just not knowing what I wanted to do with my life because I could not. It's almost like we have these moments that we're able to make decisions. And a lot of times when we make the wrong decision, instead of catching ourselves midway, we just plummet all the way.
Yeah.
And that's exactly what happened to me. I gained 210 pounds in a year.
Wow.
So you just imagine going from being in the best shape and being known for that to 356 pounds. And it was difficult. You know, a lot of people, you know, and the chatter, of course, that happens and, you know, oh my gosh, he let himself go. What has he done? Throwing his life away. You know, all of that talk from the outside. And, you know, my family, I mean, they were beyond disappointed. Because they had poured so much into allowing me to chase my dreams,
yeah.
You know, with soccer. And so that was a really difficult time. That's where, like, the trust and the integrity started to go away, you know, to fall. And, you know, I think that as I am all or nothing, if you don't have goals set, it's really, really hard to stay, you know, on track.
Absolutely.
And I know for myself, even to this day, if I do not have set goals with my business, with my personal self, with my relationships, with my family, it's real easy to slip.
Yep.
And so staying in that, in the moment, you know, I have a lot of people that see, you know, different people on Instagram and transformations and all this stuff. And I mean, they think once you go from overweight and obese or an addict to clean and sober and fit, that life is all perfect.
Nope.
And that's one thing that I don't portray, that I want to portray.
Yeah.
Especially on social media. You know, I want to portray the good and the bad and the struggle because I believe and I feel that it's a responsibility. If you have a platform on social, it's a transparent, like you said in the beginning, transparency and being honest. Because when we only put out perfection, those that are in the journey right now do not believe it's possible.
Yeah.
You know, and one thing that I, you know, so that's, you know, walked away from soccer, gained all the weight, you know, and for me at that time, I really was stuck. I didn't know what to do. And again, I didn't have the relationship anymore. And all I did, I mean, I would go every single day, either to a Chinese buffet that had my reserve table or drinking. That's it.
Yeah.
And I did that, you know, I did that and really to just escape my foolish decisions.
Yeah.
And to, you know, to self-medicate. And I think a lot of the times we all like to escape when it comes to pressure.
Oh yeah.
Life, right?
Yeah.
Like whatever that is, we try to escape. Oh, I'm going to ease my mind for now. Mm-hmm.
A part of my mission with this podcast is to give people like tangible advice, if you will, or steps that they can take. So for the person who's listening right now, who absolutely hates their life, they hate their job, they hate their body, what would you give them as a first step, like tomorrow morning for this person, what should they do? What's their first step to get control of their life?
Yeah. Well, really, I was thinking about this last week, and it's about stewardship. I think that, you know, when we have a dead-end job, when we have, you know, the body that we don't want, that we've dug ourselves into, a lot of times it's because we've been really poor stewards, and we actually steward things poorly, even when it comes to, you know, our work, when it comes to things like that. And I mean, the truth be told, if you could snap your fingers right now and be in the best shape of your life, or have the best job, or have your own business, or whatever those dreams are, per se, that you have, would you really be ready for it? If you're not a good steward of things right now, if you're not taking things seriously right now because, oh, well, there's something better for me. Well, when you get hit with that quote-unquote better for you, you will probably throw it away.
That's the truth. That's the
you
truth.
You know, and that's something that, you know, I have a lot of individuals, you know, whether I'm working with them as clients, you know, with their nutrition, or I'm, you know, just speaking with them on DMs or in the gyms or anywhere that I am, a lot of the times they're just like, hey, I just want a six-pack. Hey, I just want to be fit. Hey, I just want to do what you're doing and have my business doing well. And when I dig a little deeper, I mean, for one, they don't really want it bad enough because mm-hmm. they're not doing the work to put in towards it.
Yep.
You know, and so I can identify, though, with being in a, you know, in a place of you know, hating, quote-unquote, life.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I think that stewardship is one thing. I think that gratitude. There are so many people that have it worse than you do right now where you are.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody has circumstances and things are happening all the time. And I say this a lot, but life is not going to slow down. Circumstances are not going to stop. You know, and if you can persevere through the harshest of times, just one step at a time,
mm-hmm.
I'm telling you, the amount of strength that you will have as you come through that is amazing.
I agree.
What it can do and breathe life to many, many, many things, you know. So
yeah.
I'm not sure if that answers
your
question.
Yeah, I agree. And I understand exactly what you're saying, but I know from a lot of people who, because I'm pretty sure you have a lot of people ask you this question all the time, too. They're like, okay, what's my first step? I want to make it as tangible as possible. And I know that's it's a loaded question, but I'm just curious what you would tell someone. They're like, okay, it's Monday morning. My life sucks. What should I spend the next 8 hours of my life doing?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah, I think getting strategic. Get strategic. Start writing down. Like, what are your goals right now
mm-hmm.
with your life?
Yep.
What are they?
Mm-hmm.
And let's not let this be a pipe dream. Let's let this be goals that have stepping stones in between.
Yep.
And those stepping stones are where it's at.
Yep.
So, okay, you want to start a new business. That's what you want to do? Well, you know what? You're working a 12-hour job daily. You're going to need to prioritize your time that you're free.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
That is massive.
That's the key.
You know, a lot of people say, I mean, I have a very close friend right now that, I mean, he is going for his pro card, you know, with bodybuilding. He works 12-hour days because that's how he makes money, yet he wants to build his personal training business. And we have many, many conversations. And one thing that I say to him is, man, you have a lot to chew. You have a lot on your plate. You have got to eliminate so that you can prioritize correctly.
That's the truth. That is the truth. You know, we both, like I said, our parallels are probably more than we can even imagine. And we all have people who look at our lives and say, oh, man, you lost all that weight, or you have this successful business. You know, they think that our life is perfect. And they think that we don't still struggle with things, or we no longer have insecurities. Like, I know I still struggle with a lot of things as I continue to grow through this life, and as I continue to grow into this new role, this new body, this new life. Like, I recently got married. You know, I'm not sure how familiar you are with my story, but I lost 150 pounds over the last 5 years, and I went from dead broke and depressed and suicidal, and my life's totally different. But there's still a lot of catching up you know, certain parts of my life are still trying to catch up to other parts, you know? So what are some of these insecurities that you still deal with today?
I mean, insecurity is a big one. I think that you know, I have days that I don't feel as sharp, whether it was the night before that I overate, whether it was I had a moment of a breakdown when it came to seeing my true worth. And I think that those days, I mean, the days that follow that, I mean, I'll be in the parking lot at the gym, and I'm sitting there, and, you know, I go to Zoo Culture, which is Bradley Martin's gym. He's a big, you know, YouTuber, Instagrammer, so they're always shooting in there. And it's an intimidating environment, for sure, if you're not confident. And I know more often than not, at least once a week, and it doesn't have to even be that I, you know, messed up the night before or that I had a moment of weakness. It, bottom line is, I'll sit in that parking lot and I'll say, okay, Noah, you're going to go in there. You can do this. I mean, I have to push myself past that. And although, you know, I mean, again, people look at me and say, wow, he's in the best shape of his life. He's the most confident, yada, yada, yada. And the truth is, yes, I am much, much more confident today than I ever have been. And not to do with looks as much as to do with my conviction of where I'm at right now. And with what I'm doing. But I, at the, so I'll sit there and I have to push myself, you know, and, but it's those days, like the more I do that, the less and fewer and far between those days come, you know, and I think that purpose is really, really important, you know, like I know for myself, like being able, maintaining the weight. I mean, I, you know, and you probably can identify with this. Losing the weight, okay, yes, it takes work, it takes consistency, it takes discipline, sure, but man, maintaining that, maintaining that is a whole nother story. Is a whole nother story, you know? And I mean, I tell people all the time, I lost, I mean, from that 356 pounds, there came a point that it just, things clicked in my life, and I had a wake-up call. Had a friend killed by a drunk driver. I mean, a year later, I lost 154 pounds.
But it wasn't for you. It wasn't for you, though, right? I heard that on the other interview, man. So, and I can identify with that. You know, you and Danny kind of spoke about how when you start, sometimes it's not for the right reasons. And I agree with Danny when he said, you know, it, whatever gets you started, whatever gets you going, that's great. But eventually that fuel is going to have to transition. It's going to have to be for the right reasons in order for it to be sustainable. So
it has to, you know. And I mean, I lost 154 pounds, and that literally took me 9 months to lose. A year later, it was all back. All back plus 30. Purpose, I guess, is what pushes me past these days. You know, my purpose now, I mean, When I started this journey, my purpose was to get sober, period. And when I say my journey, I mean 2014. Business partner fled the country. I was back to 356 pounds. I was torn between dealing with, I'm just going to put it as straight as possible. I was under investigation with the LAPD for financial crimes. I had everyone invested, my whole family, friends, millions of dollars invested in the company that I started. And my business partner, French National, basically Ponzi schemed it for 2 years and ran. Yeah. 2014, you're talking, I mean, I had everything financially, materialistically, whatever, that would fill that void. But man, it was gone in a flash. And that brought me, you know, that was the true bringing to my knees to say, if I don't change now, it's impossible. And, you know, you talk about integrity loss, you talk about stress. And I had to say, okay, one, I have got to get sober. That's my purpose. I have to. Because too much integrity was broke. I mean, it was just, everything was at its low, you know, and I'm glad, though, that I didn't give up at that time.
I'm glad, too, bro.
You know, having that pressure, having that stress, you know, I mean, that was something, because at the same time, the fashion business that I had, I was doing leather jackets for celebrities, that was failing. And for a whole year, I was under lockdown. I could not make a single dime.
What's your definition of wellness?
Yeah. Definition of wellness.
Yep.
That's a good question. The wellness is being, I think my definition of wellness is being consistent.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that sounds, you know, odd, but I also think my definition of wellness is being completely clear on where you are mm-hmm. at the very moment.
Yeah.
Because so much of the time we are in denial.
Yep.
We don't identify, or we may identify, but push things under the rug.
Yep.
And not handling it head on, which exacerbates the problems.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that with a clear conscience, being able to attack those things, you know, and face them, I mean, that's my definition of wellness. It's not about perfection. It's not about an A to Z. It's about that step process that you are progressing, period.
Yep. Are you a dog person or a cat person? Random.
Dog.
100%. My man. All right, let me ask you this, right? Because as I get to know myself more, and I've learned more about myself in the last 48 months than I've had my entire life, I start picking up on patterns when I'm growing, you know, when I'm improving on a spiritual level, physical level, mental level. If you had to try to describe your personal growth process, right? Because I'm pretty sure you understand what I'm saying. How would you describe that, your personal growth process?
The way I go about it?
Well, not the way you go about it, but how do you notice it? How does it normally happen? You know, like, do you...
Yeah.
I normally feel like wisdom coming, you know, coming into my life. Like, explain how it feels for you or how it looks.
Yeah. You know, at this point, I go off of conviction. If I'm feeling heavily convicted, whether that's with anything that I do, I go full force and I put it all in there. And not all the time my convictions are from the Lord or my convictions are from the right place. They could come from a selfish place.
Yep.
And that's where I fall, right?
Mm-hmm.
But the minute that I fall, I get right back up.
Yep.
I dust myself off. I get refocused. And I think that's really, really important, right? As we grow, as we continue, wherever we're going, like I said, with business, with weight loss, with being better as human beings, I think that refocusing and reanalyzing constantly is really, really important. It's real easy to get complacent.
For sure.
It's real easy to get complacent, and it's real in the areas that we feel like we've already won at.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, and sometimes the unfortunate thing is that those things will creep back up, and they come back with that vengeance, right?
Oh, yeah.
That just, I mean, man. And so, you know, I think like really, you know, reanalyzing things, and that's what I do constantly. You know, I'm not just looking at my weaknesses.
Mm-hmm.
Because the thing is, weaknesses can be glaring, and our strength, though, I think the longer our strengths just sit unsharpened, they get real dull. They can be dull.
I agree.
And you know, so I think continuing to resharpen those. I think accountability, you know, having your accountability and support system. Like for me, I've got that accountability and support system that if they notice that I am slipping,
mm-hmm.
and it may be slipping in my state of mind, it may be slipping in my attitude,
mm-hmm.
all of that,
mm-hmm.
you know, I keep those checks and balances in my life.
That's super
constantly.
Important. Super important.
You know.
Are you a Christian?
I am.
Okay.
I sure am. And I go by the saying, love God, love people.
Yep.
You know, I don't look at anyone differently who doesn't believe.
Yeah, and that's my thing. I believe because the podcast that I'm airing before this one is actually a conversation that I had with my pastor. And if you have a chance, I want you to check it out. It's gonna be released this Thursday. But
absolutely,
I believe in the principles of Christianity. I wasn't really raised in the church, but my issue is just more so with what religion does to people. I'm very clear in my faith. I have a very good relationship with God, but I refuse to say that my beliefs are the only true belief. Like it's true to me, but if you have a different God or a different faith, I don't discredit anyone else's faith, you know? And that's my only issue with churches and a lot of Christians, you know?
I think religion in general, that's all man-made, yep. Right? And as a world, we're all incredibly selfish in different areas. Yep. And so I think that, religion, the way that I look at, my relationship with God and being a believer is that it really is about a personal relationship. And a post that I put out yesterday was about, I have had personal experiences in my life that I cannot say there were ever a coincidence, and it is undoubtedly that God stepped into those parts. Yep. And for those who haven't experienced that, they may not grasp it, because it's hard, man. How do you believe in something you can't see,
yep.
Right? It's hard enough working with someone across the country. Like, I'll work with clients across the country, and they don't really know how to trust me.
Yeah.
Because I'm...
What all do you have going on right now?
Yeah, I'm... in 2016, by the end of 2015, I was cleared, financial crimes, all that craziness. And obviously, I was dead broke, had nothing but family support and my sobriety, which is everything. And my work ethic.
David,
you can take everything from me today, but you cannot take away my work ethic and consistency, period.
Yep.
And that will rebuild my life wherever I am.
Yep.
But so fast forward to that, 2016 in January, I had a really difficult decision to move on purpose and not move on monetary, to get back into the fashion industry and to get everything going again. So I decided, we had the last Nick Cannon project, and I said, I'm done. This is it for me. And again, I had all my identity was wrapped in for the longest time was the fashion business and the big names that I was working with and what I had done. And walking away from that was one of the hardest decisions that I have ever made, but it was the best decision. And because for me, I knew as I got into nutrition, as I was working with clients and watching lives change one at a time. And we're not talking about, from overweight to six pack. I'm talking about from the inside out.
Yep. Yep.
I said, this is my vehicle. This is my tool. This is how I'm going to continue to pay it forward. And so I did. And, I walked away in January 2016 from the fashion industry, went full force into nutrition management, nutritionmgmt.com. That's, my business. It's very, very hands-on. I work with 50 individuals at a time. That's it. But it's incredibly focused in on that accountability, along, of course, with the results that come through their nutrition and lifestyle change.
Yep.
And so, so I've been doing that. At the end of 2016, it was more of a hobby for me, right? I was doing everything that I could to make the money. And we all know that when you start business, when you start business, you're not a tangible money-making business for years, most of the time.
Yep.
No matter how much you invest, if you invest little, invest a lot, it takes a lot of work. You can be an entrepreneur or you can be a wantrepreneur, which most people are, to be honest.
That's true.
And so I went from, in 2016, at the end of the year, I was in India visiting my family, and I started doing the work from there. And because I can do this mobile anywhere, thank God to WhatsApp, thank God to, iPhones and technology.
Yep.
And as I was there and nailing that, I still wasn't making the income that I needed to even touch close to even a single project in the fashion industry that I was doing. Mm-hmm. But I continued to be driven by purpose. And I pushed through. Between December and January, there was a story that came out. It covered my story a little bit. It was in the UK Mail or Daily Mail, something. Mm-hmm. And my business went, I mean, literally tenfold. Yep. In a month.
Yep.
And again, I don't do this for the money. This is not about the money, because if you chase people and give value, your monetary will be taken care of.
It'll come.
If you can give the value,
It'll come. Yes, sir.
You know, it will come, you know. And yeah, if I look back at what I was making with fashion, what I'm making today, it's like, man, I am overworked and underpaid. Mm-hmm. But no, like, I am so fulfilled. Yep. And I have a clear conscience on the money that I'm making with every life that I'm working with.
What's your workout split? Like, what's your schedule? Like, what are you doing in the gym?
Yeah, workout schedule. I mean, I'm training single body part a day. Is how I do it. I'm typically going in. I mean, every session that I start with, and I've done this from the beginning, in 2014, but every session that I start with some type of a HIIT cardio, which is 15 minutes to 17 minutes to 20 minutes max. It's rare that I'm doing anything longer than that. Mm-hmm. I think there's a lot of benefits when it comes to the HIIT training, the science behind it, but just getting that like quick burn, mm-hmm. and getting like pumped and ready to push through the weight training. Yeah. For me, I think it's massive. And it actually forces you to push harder through those weight training sessions, because your heart rate's going up and down throughout your training session, right?
Yeah.
After your cardio. So I'm doing the cardio, you know, and I split it up. I mean, sometimes I'll do it on the exercise bike. Sometimes I'll do it on the Stairmaster or the elliptical. I think the elliptical, for anyone who's listening to this and really heavy and doesn't know where to start, you know, when it comes to cardio, for one, I would not do long, long, long-winded cardio, because most of the time you're not going to be able to sustain doing it.
Yes.
You're just not. For two, I think doing a 15 to 20-minute type of high-intensity work set where you're spiking your heart rate for, you know, 20 to 30 seconds and then letting it drop for a minute and a half or so, mm-hmm. and then spiking it again. And you don't have to be sprinting. Mm-hmm. You could just be picking up your pace that you normally do, yep. right? So I think that's a big thing. When it comes to cardio, and I mean, you're talking 15 to 20 minutes and you're done, compared to saying, oh gosh, I've got to get in there and do an hour today, you know?
Yeah.
And I'm not against long-winded cardio. I just think that it's something that's it's not sustainable. And if you build it in, your body's going to want you to keep doing
need it. Yep.
Hit cardio type stuff. And then, I get into the weight training. I train one body part a day. I think that for me, that's worked the very, very best.
So you do about 15 to 20 minutes of HIIT in the beginning, and then how long are you, or let's say, how many exercises and how many sets? I'm just trying to give people tangible, you know, information.
Absolutely.
Absolutely.
Per body part. Five. I like to go like five different exercises, typically five or six, and I will do, five to six sets. So like quite a bit of sets. Maybe the first set is somewhat of a warm up, mm-hmm. and then the rest of the sets are high volume. So, I mean, we're talking 10 to 12, 12 to 15 type reps. I really like to go for that. I think that if you're setting yourself up and you're doing like, say, a body part a day or whatever you're training, I like to, take the split, and I like to put it where every single set that I'm doing, I'm pyramiding the weight up a little bit. So I may be doing 15 reps of a certain weight, and then I up it a little bit more, and then I'm doing 12 reps, right? Then I'm doing 10 reps or something like that, right? So basically, by the time that I get to my final set, I'm doing the most amount of weight that I possibly can, but still pushing at least 8 to 10 reps in that. Mm-hmm. Right, I think that really forces us to push, right?
Yep.
And instead of just getting through, if you're getting through all your sets, you're doing 15 reps or however many reps, and you're getting through them, and you're not really even breaking a sweat. Well, my opinion is you're not training smart with the time that you have.
Yep.
It's not about training the hardest, not about training the heaviest, but it's about training smart, I think. And so I focus in on that with my sets and rep ranges with pyramiding the weight.
So all right, so typically, because I know you get a lot of questions about macros. So when you start up with a new client, right, based on your assessment, how do you determine their macro split?
All right, so here's the best way. So for one, I don't use macro calculators. Mm-hmm. I don't use calorie counters. I don't use any of that. What I do is this. So I go over, obviously, you've got a 400-pound individual or wherever they are. I get a real depth understanding of, one, where they've been, two, where they are right now, what they're eating, what their meal timings look like, what are their triggers when it comes to foods, what are their triggers when it comes to overeating. Are they overeating late at night? Are they under-eating all day, and that's why they're overeating late at night? Whatever that is, there's so many details that it comes to, right, for me to formulate exactly how I put together their meal plan. But basically what I do is this. Unless they're going for an all keto or they want to do, you know, a certain style of dieting, I really think that carbs are king, especially when it comes to the world that we live in right now. Mm-hmm. And if you're doing no carb, low carb, all these things, I believe that the weight might come off, but it will come right back when you get back to your normal, quote-unquote, eating habits. I believe in a carb-balanced somewhat diet where I do lower fats. I start out with lower carbs, and I start out with high protein, okay? Now, I rarely change the protein through the journey. Mm-hmm. I keep the protein high. I start to manipulate carbs. Mm-hmm. Now, most coaches, and what I cannot understand is most coaches that put together macro plans and all these counters and whatever you're doing, they start you at a certain amount, right? You're 400 pounds, they start you at a certain amount of macros. Then you get to 300 pounds or 350, and they lower your macros, right? Mm-hmm. You don't need as much food. Then you lower your macros every time, right? Like as you go down in weight.
Yeah.
Wrong. I think that is the wrong way to do it, because by the time you get into the best shape of your life, your macros are at its lowest.
Yep.
Like, for me, I believe, and I know it to be true for myself, and I know it to be true for clients that are keeping the weight off, and I'm talking epic transformations, but it's about continuing to step up the carbs, and i.e. the calories, because that all goes hand in hand,
mm-hmm.
but stepping it up as you go. So by the time you get between now and where you want to be, for one, I believe your metabolism can handle it.
Yeah.
Your body can handle it. And three, you're at such an amazing intake when you're getting leaner and you're continuing to lose weight that it's really hard for you to yo-yo back.
Yeah, that's true.
Right? So that's kind of the way I do it. And, you know, you can call it reverse dieting if you want to call it that. You know, I see a lot of posts on Instagram that I've wanted to speak out about, but I've held my tongue when it comes to calories are king, and you've got to be in a calorie deficit to lose weight. Well, how about you explain to me why client A came to me, and she's been in 1,500 calorie deficits for real, and can't lose a single pound, and she's 280 pounds.
Yeah.
Why?
Yeah.
Why is that? It's because there's so many more ailments that go into weight loss, in my opinion. When I'm working with clients, because I work with clients that have type 1, type 2 diabetes, PCOS, HIV, I mean, you name it.
Mm-hmm.
I work with the ailments. And those ailments make no sense when it comes to calories and macros for numbers because of the weight loss and the way that their body goes up and down, whether it's with the water retention, with the steroids that they're on because of their ailments, things like that, right?
Yeah.
So I'm the last person to ever say that, you know, and yes, science is true. I believe that you have to be in a caloric deficit, but I also believe that for everybody, a caloric deficit is very, very different.
Yes, yes, I agree.
Very, very different than any type of counter that will ever give you.
Mm-hmm. One of the things that I always tell my clients, like, you want to try to lose fat eating as much food as you can, if that makes sense.
Amen.
I'm pretty sure it makes sense to you. But that's kind of a hard concept for a lot of people to wrap their heads around. But I agree 100% with what you're saying, because I dealt with metabolism damage from extreme caloric deficits. So you're doing a great thing, man. You're doing a great thing, and I'm pretty sure some stuff that I can learn from you about that approach, for real. But yeah, bro.
One last thing I did want to touch on when it does come to setting up anyone's diet, if you're setting your own up, is focus in on three things. Focus in on your digestion, your satiety, mm-hmm. and your hunger levels. I'm sorry, your hunger levels, which is satiety, mm-hmm. and your energy levels.
Yeah.
That's where you can, if you stick, like for me, you know, I believe that it takes 3 to 5 days for your body to really click into a system. Mm-hmm. So set up your system with where you want to go with your carbs, with your fats, with, you know, your proteins, all that, and your meal timings around your schedule, right? And around those three things. And I'm telling you this, is that if you're realizing that your energy levels are dipping in the afternoons, well, you're going to have to go back to the drawing board with that meal maybe that you're having in the morning, or the lack of snack you're having in between, right?
Yeah.
Or you may realize that you want to overeat late at night. Well, you know what? It doesn't make sense for you to get all your macros and everything in before 8 p.m. If you know you're going at midnight because you work till 2 a.m., yeah. No. Yeah. Set your times right around that. You get it? And that's how I do it with clients. We go through the process. I can write a prescription that is as close to what I feel could be a great starting point, but there is no way that prescription sticks until we're figuring out as we go what exactly is working and what is not.